What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The North Texas stories you need to know. This is the All Local from News Radio 1080 KRLD.
I'm Austin York, and this is the Afternoon All Local.
Texas, we have a water problem. At least we could have a big one. That is according to many experts. Also, according to the State Agriculture Commissioner Sid Miller, who is sounding the alarm. And he joins us right now here on KRLD to talk about the situation. What is the problem here? As simply as you can explain it, why is water such an issue in Texas and becoming more of an issue?
Well, I can put it in pretty simple terms. We're out of it. There is no more. We've reached our limit. We've used our capacity. It's people are not talking about this, but it, you know, we still have over 1,000 new legal people come into our state every day, and our water resources are maxed out. So we've got to start doing some things different.
Now, what are those things you want different? Is it just the infrastructure not in place?
Well, that's one of about 8 or 10 things that needs to happen. We have our major cities, from the time they get their water to they deliver it to their customers, lose 30%. You know, we can't waste 30% of the water when we don't have any new sources coming online. So infrastructure, we've got the Rio Grande Valley is the hardest hit right now. They really don't have groundwater down there. They're dependent on the water in the Rio Grande. And we have a treaty with Mexico, and they're not paying up on their half. They're hoarding the water. So that's caused a real shark fall down there. There's two lakes, Lake Amistad, Lake Falcon. They're at 27% capacity and 12%. Basically, they're mud holes. So those cities down there get their water through irrigation. Those canals lose 40% of it. And the city loses 30. We're losing 70% of the water in the Rio Grande Valley, South Texas. So that won't work.
And I was going to ask you about the recent Supreme Court ruling on the water compact, Texas, New Mexico, and Colorado. How does that play into this?
Well, New Mexico owed us some water, and we went after them, and we lost the case. So no new water coming out of New Mexico. They're holding up Rio Grande water up there too. So we've got to deal with New Mexico, which we've lost. We know the outcome of that. We're still trying to get Mexico to pay their water bill. They need it. So we can't sit around whining about people owing us water. We need to, you know, take control of ourselves. My gosh, we're Texans. You know, we need to pick ourselves up and go fix the problem. And we can do that.
I know that you mentioned recycling as a solution to this. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, we treat our water, our wastewater, and then instead of reusing it, we send it down the creek. You know, it runs off. My farmers can irrigate with that. Nothing wrong with it. I mean, it's perfect. A great example of that is what they do in Israel. They don't waste a drop of water. They recycle all of their wastewater. But it's not just that. We spend millions and millions of dollars getting rid of stormwater. We need to capture that, and that's an asset. We can capture it right off these distribution warehouses, big parking lots, you know, airports. It's relatively clean if it never, you know, never hits the ground. We can use it as is, untreated, for manufacturing, irrigation, you know, and take the burden off of our, lakes and groundwater. We've got a lot of things, you know, we can do. We can use desal. Big Springs and El Paso have been doing it for years. Little city of Alice down in South Texas has put in an RO plant, and they're going to produce 3 million gallons of water a day and get completely off of lake water. That's a new source of water. And they're using brackish water where we have, and it's a salt water. It's not near as salty as seawater, so it's a lot cheaper to clean up, and it's economical to do that.
Of course, all of this is going to cost money. How can you convince the legislature to pony up the dough?
Well, the taxpayers have already approved that. Taxpayers have approved six, and it's at the Texas Water Development Board. They have the money. These cities and counties can access that. I just sent out $450 million to 90 different rural communities to fix their infrastructure problem, to replace cast iron water lines, you know. My gosh, we hadn't used those in 50 years. And so there's several federal programs that can be accessed. The money's there. I mean, we don't have to invent it. We don't really need any new legislation. We just need to, you know, get off our rear end and go get it and get after it, because this is going to affect future generations.
Absolutely. And how could the average Texan conserve if they want to conserve water and help keep the water we have?
Well, I would recommend every homeowner use water smart plants. You know, we put in St. Augustine grass. It's a water hog. You know, use Texas native plants. Use a buffalo grass instead of St. Augustine. And, you know, we just got to use a little cowboy logic. You know, quit using so much water. There's a lot of appliances, you know, toilets and dishwashers and washing machines now that are much more efficient. If you've got, you know, one of those old ones that uses, you know, lots of water, we'll think about the and you'll probably save on the, your electric bill, too, because they're much more efficient to run.
I'm going to play devil's advocate here. If we don't do any of these things, where are we going to be in 20, 30 years?
Well, growth will stop. And we already have communities that these developers come in, want to put in 800 houses, you know, put in a new housing development. Well, uh-oh, our water system can't handle that. We can't supply you water to that new development. So it doesn't go in, and that stops, you know, growth in our economy, and that's jobs that won't, you know, ever develop. So we're at that point now. There's areas of Texas where that's actually happening.
Good enough. Sid, listen, thank you so much. I appreciate the time. That is the State Agriculture Commissioner Sid Miller. Let's talk about the situation in Lebanon. This is a story we've been following for a couple of days now. Exploding electronic devices, pagers and tablets and cars and walkie-talkies. Apparently they're targeting members of the Iran-backed militant group Hezbollah. Thousands of people have been injured. More than two dozen have been killed. Hezbollah is blaming Israel for the attacks. The News Nation national security contributor Tracy Walter is a former CIA officer and was deployed to nine different countries in the Middle East, Africa, and Europe during Operation Enduring Freedom. Now, she's actually here in Dallas, but is following this story and joins us right now on KRLD. Where do we stand this morning after 2 days of these explosions, these electronic devices? Is this continuing?
You know, that's a great question, and one I've gotten quite a bit. My gut, you know, obviously I can't say for certain, but my gut says that maybe Israel has really kind of accomplished what they wanted to, because really these attacks were twofold if you think about it. They wanted to have a physical impact, which clearly they did, but also the psychological, which is really to diminish the capability of Hezbollah to have any trust in any kind of communication device, because that takes away their ability to plan future attacks. And I feel that this operation has obviously done that. And so I'm not certain that we will see more.
Do we know anything about this? We first heard about a little bit of powder, I guess, in the pagers, but now we're getting walkie-talkies and, as he said, laptops and other things. Do we know anything more about how these explosives ended up in these devices?
Yeah, we do. So it sounds to me they were told to actually stay off cell phones by Nasrallah, who is the head of Hezbollah, back in February. And that was the result of Hania, one of the members of Hamas, being killed and his location being found on a cell phone. And so that is when we believe that they placed that sort of, I guess, bulk order, if you will, for the pagers and for the walkie-talkies. That was all done at the same time. And so clearly they got a hold of those items, I feel, at their distribution point, which was in kind of eastern-ish Europe. And that company, which was established in 2022, we think actually may have been a shell company owned by Israel. And that's when they were able to doctor the devices.
So not only, really quickly, not only did they intercept this, but Israel got paid on top of it by Hezbollah money.
I mean, that's a really good point that I don't think I necessarily thought of. But yes, most likely so.
This does not strike me as something that Israel, if Israel is responsible, that they just came up with a couple of weeks ago. Someone said, hey, I've got an idea. And indeed, we're hearing reports. This is something they may have been planning for quite a while. What do you think?
Oh, I 100% believe this was something they were planning for months, quite frankly. And in fact, probably at the inception of all of this, you know, in October of this past year. I also think, too, this style of these very precision assassination attacks, it's actually not new to Mossad or Israel. Gosh, they've done this for decades going back. And so I think this is something, we've just never seen something on this scale, if that makes any sense. But this type of attack is very much something that they do.
Let me ask you this. Everyone has been really thinking about retaliation. Are we expecting that, and when?
Yeah, you know, I do believe that there will be retaliation. But again, Israel was doing this because of rockets, right, being sent into northern Israel. So yes, it's sort of a tit-for-tat situation. Israel's clearly crippled their ways to communicate, right? So that we know a retaliatory attack might look a little different and might take a little longer. But I do suspect, I mean, we're coming up on the anniversary of 10/7 and also on the Jewish high holidays. And so I do think that conditions are obviously, you know, ripe for retaliation.
What about the situation in Gaza? I mean, Israel's got this going on two fronts. They've got to be getting stretched thin.
You know, I think they've got this going on really on three to four fronts, quite frankly. You've got the north, right, with Hezbollah. You've got the south with a little bit of Hamas and some other things going on there. And then obviously you have Gaza. I am certain that they are stretched thin, but at the same time, this is something that they have probably over-prepared for because they know that they are surrounded basically by enemies.
All right, good enough. Very interesting information, good insight. Tracy Walder with News Nation. She's with us here on KRLD. Tracy, thank you so much. We really appreciate the time. 10:16 right now at KRLD. I guess if you don't have the manpower, which Israel probably doesn't because everyone's in Gaza, this is a good way to get around that. You booby trap the pagers and the...
I'm telling you, it doesn't matter where you fall down on the spectrum on this one. This is just an amazing story, and I know that every government, including our own, is probably looking at this and thinking, either we knew about it, which we're not going to definitely say if we did or not, but we got to be tipping our cap saying, wow, that is some interesting thinking there. Maybe we use this strategy going forward.
Yeah, I was just going to say, gee, I wonder if we could do that.
Yeah, think about it. Again, like I said, they're a shell company. The bad guys are paying you for the product. You get paid by the bad guys to give them a product that's going to blow them up.
That's a win-win for Israel.
That is absolutely. If they are indeed, if they are indeed behind this, as they... They're not definitely raising their hands
and saying anything yet. Admitted it, but
we all know.
It's likely.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And, of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you got a gun, you better leave it at home if you're headed to the state fair.
The State Fair of Texas announced a ban on guns a few weeks ago. The Texas Attorney General sued, and at the hearing, an investigator said he's been getting emails and voicemails.
Those individuals, because they feared for their safety at the parking lots, which were inside, were owned by the State Fair, they're going to boycott the State Fair because they don't want to go in because they don't feel safe.
But as soon as arguments wrapped up, the judge ruled against the AG's request for an injunction to block the ban. The State Fair's lawyer, Robert Smith, says that means the ban will stay in place next Friday, but they've still got a lawsuit ahead of them.
This is still pending litigation. Obviously, the State Fair is very pleased with the judge's ruling. We think it's the right ruling.
Lawyers for the Attorney General did not answer questions. In Dallas, Alan Skaya, News Radio 1080, KRLD.
Here on Lois Greenville, outside of Trader Joe's, I spoke to several people to get their views on guns at the State Fair.
Yeah, like, I see both sides. Like, I guess since there was a shooting last year, I can see how people would feel uncomfortable with the presence of guns. But at the same time, I'm all for, like, your own safety as well.
You know, if someone pulls out a gun and you know, tries to kill you, you should be able to protect yourself.
Honestly, it would be nice if they could check that someone's licensed. I'd have no issue at all with people with a license going in with a gun, but you do worry about about crazy people.
Those I spoke with say the gun issue won't affect them because they will be attending the Great State Fair of Texas. Along Lois Greenville, Russell Scott, News Radio 1080 KRLD.
Dallas's police chief says it is time to move on.
Following a 3.5-year tenure, Police Chief Eddie Garcia will retire from law enforcement and take the assistant city manager job with the city of Austin. The move means Garcia would be joining T.C. Broadnax, Dallas's former city manager. Just a few months ago, Dallas and Garcia had reached an agreement on a new contract that kept Garcia with the city, following several attempts from other cities to poach him. Garcia has been credited with reducing violent crime and improving morale in the department since he took over in 2021. Garcia became Dallas's first Latino police chief and was previously the police chief in San Jose, California. No word yet on his final day. From the 24-Hour News Center, Austin, York, News Radio 1080, KRLD.
Big rig driver charged for intoxication manslaughter. He's accused of starting a chain reaction wreck this morning in Fort Worth. We talked about this shutdown for hours on 820 in White Settlement. Police now say the big rig driver is drunk, didn't stop in a construction zone, hit one car, killed the driver and hurt the passenger, and then that car crashed into another charge. Guadalupe Velasquez went to the hospital and is now arrested.
A little girl's fight for her life has now ended in an Arlington hospital just a week after she was hurt in a crash.
The 3-year-old was badly hurt a week ago today when the car she was riding in crashed in central Arlington on Central near Division. She was rushed to the ER along with the driver in his 30s and a woman in her 60s. The condition of the adults has not been released, but Arlington police now say the little girl has died. Investigators are still trying to determine if the girl was properly restrained in a child safety seat. From the 24-Hour News Center, Kurt Lewis, News Radio 1080, KRLD.
The All Local is updated 3 times a day. For the latest news, weather, and traffic, listen to News Radio 1080 KRLD. Visit KRLD.com, download the Odyssey app, or ask your smart speaker to play News Radio 1080 KRLD.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.